Hello, and welcome to the Idaho section of the American Water Resources Association Meet the Professional interview. Today, we're going to be talking to Sharon Aroshenko, a Regional Technical Services Manager here with the Bureau of Reclamation. I'm Kathy Peter. I'm Secretary Treasurer for the state section of the American Water Resources Association. The IDAWRA is dedicated to the advancement of water resources management, research, and education. Members represent a community of water professionals with diverse backgrounds, but they share engagement in solving some of the toughest water resources challenges. I want to particularly thank our sponsors and our members who make events like this possible: Avista Corporation, Brown and Caldwell, Haley and Aldrich, HDR Engineering, and Jacobs Engineering Group. Okay, there. Yeah, well, welcome, Sharon. Thank you for volunteering to do this today. We're sitting in your kitchen, and I'm sitting in my bedroom slash office. And I'm going to ask you if you could talk a little bit about your position now with the Bureau of Reclamation. You know, what is your job like?
Very interesting. There are very many aspects of the job that I have now. I originally started at the Bureau of Reclamation doing a lot of water modeling in terms of water accounting through the Snake River system and flow augmentation. And then I got a position overseeing the design group in that program. And then ultimately got this job, which is the Regional Technical Services Manager, which oversees many technical programs in the region. And that includes design, our facility O&M group, which is operations and maintenance, and that oversees the safety of dams and value engineering program. Our geology group and a drill crew. We have a river systems restoration group also that restores river systems and fishery habitats for the different life stages to mitigate for the construction of Grand Coulee, and then physical security. So it's a whole group of very different professions and missions and programs that makes it very challenging.
Oh, that is. My gosh, how many people or employees are there in your group in the Bureau of Reclamation?
Anywhere between 75 and 85, depending on who's retired, who's left, whom we've hired. So it's very dynamic some days.
Okay. Well, you're a federal employee then, because the Bureau of Reclamation, of course, is a federal agency.
Correct.
Maybe you could say just a few words about what its mission is for people who may not be familiar with the Bureau of Reclamation.
Well, to deliver water and power in a sustainable, ecologically friendly way. Granted, there are a lot of conflicting interests, right, with water and its uses and benefit. So it's a balancing act in working with the public and serving the public to provide irrigation water and power, because Grand Coulee Dam is in our region, and it is the largest dam in North America.
Yeah,
and amazing. It's quite a sight to see and get lost in if you're ever visiting.
So you've been there. I mean, you've been in Grand Coulee, literally in the dam, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Is that part of your job, traveling to the facilities?
Occasionally, yes. And as the Regional Technical Services Manager, I have other jobs and duties that also require me to work with other folks within reclamation as a whole. So I work with other peers in other offices and with our Denver group as well. And so I do get at least out to other places in the Western United States to see different projects and work with other different people outside the region, which is nice. I really enjoy that.
That must be exciting. Yes. So how did you get here? I mean, I know you were modeling before mathematical modeling before you went into your current position in management, but there was a path before that. I mean, where did you go to school?
So, interestingly enough, I had no idea what an engineer did as a senior in high school. I think my parents were afraid I'd never leave the house, so they had the school counselor on speed dial, and I think I was in his office every other week talking about career. Uh-huh. And I enjoyed art, but I also enjoyed math. So he asked me if I knew what an engineer was, and I had absolutely no idea. And so I signed up or declared a double E, electrical engineering, as my major when I started college. And the first year, all the engineers pretty much take the same curriculum. And by the second year, I was not really all that enthralled with double E. It was, for me personally, it just wasn't a good fit for me. And mm-hmm. And they had a lab on Friday afternoon at 5. And I that was my rebellious period of time where I went from the dean's list one semester to the dean's other list the other semester. Oh. So I will say that even with 7 credits of F on your transcript, they will allow you into graduate school. Because I ended up graduating with a bachelor's in mechanical engineering. Still not sure what I wanted to do. I worked in a machine shop, designed lumber testing equipment. Came to Boise, did some consulting work, and became very intrigued with water resources. And I just touched the fringes of that with mechanical engineering and thought I needed more. So I pursued a master's degree in biological and agricultural engineering, also through the University of Idaho. And they had the Center for Ecohydraulics Research already in Boise by then. So I worked with the outreach program and took some classes kind of online or with video VCR tapes at that time, mm-hmm. or in person. And what I really found terrific with that whole program was how accommodating to non-traditional students they were. In fact, my daughters one day, they were young enough and I made them a batch of popcorn and I said, come on kids, we're gonna watch a movie. And when my class was over and done with, they thought that was the most boring movie they had ever seen in their entire life until they ran into one of the professors that was teaching the class at some social function and they thought they were starstruck. They thought, here's that guy in the movie. So I earned that degree and that's when I worked at Idaho Power and started doing work on the relicensing of the Hells Canyon projects and some work on the Midsnake projects and did more water quality modeling, operations modeling. So I really started to get into the numerical modeling aspect mm-hmm. of it. And then it wasn't until I got to the Bureau of Reclamation and had an opportunity to pursue a PhD. And so I worked at the Ecohydraulics Research Lab in the flume and did a PhD or earned a PhD. That was a challenge in pool and riffle sustainability. So I worked with the flume and gravel and little plastic BBs representing sediment.
Take a minute to describe the flume. I mean, I've seen the flume, but other people go, what?
Yeah, it was really a fun thing to do where you have water running in one end and you've got gravels or for some other folks, some physical setup and you're measuring flow measurements through some other constriction or some sort of configuration you have in the flume, doing whatever, measuring erosion or something. And the water exits and it just recirculates. It's quite fascinating to go see if anybody has the opportunity to go see it.
I'll have to see if I can find a link to the flume because it is hard to describe.
And it is hard to describe.
Attach it into this video so people can see, you know, a giant machine that is supposed to represent a river. Then you make it look represent a river the way you want it to be designed. And yes, I will see if I can attach that to this video.
Oh, that'd be terrific.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I hope they have something online.
Yeah.
So you got your PhD, which was challenging. How long did it take to get your PhD?
Working full-time, I think when I started it to when I finished it, I want to say somewhere around 4 years.
4 years, that's pretty, and you have kids. I mean, your daughters were, I don't know how old they were when you were doing all that, but.
They were good. They were in high school.
Okay.
So they were pretty self-sufficient, but they, you know, they, by the evenings, they were doing their own thing. And then, and after dinner, after we hung out, I found some time to carve out and do that. So it worked out.
Impressive. And you're also a professional engineer. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So in achieving or becoming licensed as a professional engineer, you need to work under another licensed engineer for at least a period of 4 years in the state of Idaho. Mm-hmm. And prior to becoming a professional engineer, I was grateful that my professors recommended taking the entrance exam prior to getting the professional license, which was great because you're fresh out of school.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the best decision I made because truly there are not very many electrical or mechanical engineers that become licensed.
Oh.
It's more prevalent for civil engineers because double E's or mechanicals go into other industries with manufacturing, right, or power, and that doesn't necessarily require licensure.
Right.
So I was fortunate enough to have a professor encourage me to take the entrance exam first to become an EIT, or the Fundamentals of Engineering exam, as they call it now. And then you don't have to beg, but I was thankful that I had a couple of registered engineers that vouched for me that said, yeah, she's all right. She can take the exam. and the truth be told, I took it when I was about 8.5 months pregnant and had to bring a lot of quiet food to snack on because I was hungry all the time. And passed the exam.
I have to tell you that I was also pregnant when I took my professional engineer's exam. I don't know what that means, but.
I don't either, but you think you're not completely in your right mind sometimes because you're focused on something else. So it's funny. Oh, I have no idea. I figured if I pass, I pass. I'm not going to ask why or how come, but they let me.
Very highly accomplished. I mean, so if you were talking to somebody who was a student, even you, when you were, you know, when Sharon was in high school or when you were in college, you know, what do you wish somebody had told you about, you know, what's it like to work as an engineer and what to think about?
The best thing that ever happened to me was that I got a job. I'm sorry, that was my phone. I have it there quiet. Where I actually got a job working for this manufacturer of lumber testing equipment. And that put so much together for me in terms of my schoolwork and actual application of engineering. It was absolutely incredible. So I would strongly encourage students to try to get a job or an internship or something or job shadow an engineer just to experience maybe what their day is, because it's not always exciting. You're not always in the field. You have to sit down and do some math. You have to pencil some things out. You have to go to meetings. You have to write things down. The other important thing is make sure your writing skills improve. I poo-pooed that for a while and realized over time that having writing skills to convey information is crucial so that people understand what you're talking about and to convey information and make a point. So writing skills are huge, and don't dismiss that to your other technical classes. But just having the connection between coursework and application is incredible to tie that together. That being said, when I went to consulting, it was a little bit different, but having had that previous experience brought it all together a little quicker for me.
Okay.
All my jobs have been just a little different, as I think anybody else who's had more than one job, you just learn it, but you have the tool set to get you there. And two, it would be a great opportunity to at least assess for yourself if that is indeed the career path you want. There are some people I know who have gotten into that profession and realized, oh, I don't like the writing, I don't like the meetings, I don't want to deal with people. And so they have to find maybe something else that really that they're passionate about. It's not an easy field. That's you should know.
But when you went into consulting, I mean, was that challenging to start out to have that kind of change in your career from working from a fixed company to consulting? I mean, what was it like the first few weeks, you know, till you had your customers and your contracts?
Oh my gosh, it was just completely mind-boggling because it's a little different marketing. You have to market yourself differently. It's not the product, it's the organization and their competency. Now you're marketing everybody else. And for me, it was also the public speaking skills in meeting new clients, conveying information, going to public meetings where you're presenting this design to a city that you're providing this design for. That was an eye-opener for me. You're not in the smaller group. Now your exposure to people and having those speaking skills is now so much greater.
And were you required in college? Did they have a class on public speaking? Was that required at University of Idaho?
No, not at least not that I remember. And if it was, I probably purged it from my mind and my memory. It might have been that traumatic. I don't remember.
I know that was at my university, that was required. Was every single student had to take a speech class and all the technical writing. Everybody had to take a class in technical writing and if you were in the technical fields.
Yeah, we did have technical writing. Now, we did do presentations for our senior design projects.
Well, it does. Yeah, it does. This has just been great. It's so nice to talk to you. I've known you for a while, and I knew a little bit about your story, but I think this is going to be very helpful to other people like you who were a senior in high school and going, an engineer? I don't know. What do they do?
Yeah, exactly. And I'll be honest with you, this is one of those awkward moments where I really don't like to talk about myself. I'd rather be having this conversation and learning more about you than talking about me. So you did get me out of my comfort zone. Let's put it that way.
Oh, you never could tell. You look very, very comfortable. No. Well, thanks a lot. I'm going to stop the recording.